Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to the Chemist Corner Podcast for Wednesday, February 17th, 2010. Welcome to Chemist Corner. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me is my co-host and coolest cosmetic chemist in the whole world, Kelly Dobos. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Perry.
Chemist Corner is a podcast about cosmetic science and is broadcast to help educate, entertain, and inspire current and future cosmetic scientists. The information and opinions discussed on Chemist Corner are those of the hosts and the guest alone. They do not necessarily reflect those of any past, present, or future employers. In this episode, we will discuss some cosmetic science news, talk about a cosmetic science topic, and we will finish with a brain challenge. It's another really packed show, isn't it, Kelly?
Sounds like.
Yes, quite. So it's snowing out there in Cincinnati, eh?
Yeah, it is. We've got quite a lot of snow this week.
Snow, is that good for your skin, the snow?
You know, I don't know. I prefer to stay inside when it snows.
There's not really much snow here in Chicago, which is good because I'm flying out to Minnesota tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be fun that people get to listen to me talk for 45 minutes. How long do you think is the perfect talk when you go to one of these scientific meetings? How long should the talk be?
I'd say about 30 to 45 minutes, because I think much longer than that, you start to wear out people's attention spans.
Even if you're juggling?
I think even if you're juggling.
I actually do try to limit mine to about, I think 40 minutes to me is really all you need to hear from me anyway. Let's start off with the news. Our news story today comes from the pages of Cosmetics and Toiletries, and it was this story called, Can You Make Your Skin Better by the Diet You Eat? Now, Kelly, skincare is your expertise, and you have some thoughts on treating your skin from within.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that what you eat can affect your skin health, and a classic example is scurvy. Something that we don't see anymore, but used to affect sailors and pirates, which is kind of interesting. But they couldn't take a lot of fresh produce and so forth on ships going out to sea, so they ate a lot of cured meats. And we can't apparently make vitamin C or synthesize vitamin C ourselves, so we have to get it through our diet, and it's very important to collagen synthesis. So some of the disease-related symptoms are problems with teeth and gum and spots on the skin. So it's kind of a clear classic example of how what we eat can affect our skin.
So you should really eat your oranges or drink orange juice?
Sure. Actually, I think probably taking a supplement would be, since getting the higher amounts of vitamin C every day is almost, difficult to do sometimes.
In this article, they talk about nutricosmetics. Have you ever heard that nutricosmetic term?
I've heard nutraceutical. I don't believe I have heard much about nutricosmetics yet.
Look for this new word in future marketing products. But one of the interesting things that they said about these nutricosmetics, which essentially are, they're supplements for cosmetic effect. But they say if taking something like vitamin C supplements, specifically for your skin, it's going to take, it's not one of those immediate things. It'll take 3 weeks just to start to see an effect, because it takes that long for skin to turn over.
Yeah, that's rather interesting.
Though I don't know about this bit where they say nutricosmetics can bypass the digestive system. I don't know how you bypass the digestive system if you're not injecting it directly into your bloodstream.
Yeah, I don't know what they mean by that, for sure.
Some of the other ingredients they talk about in the article are essential fatty acids, omega-3, and, of course, our good old friends, the antioxidants. Are you aware of any studies that show benefit from using these specifically for skincare?
No, off the top of my head, I don't. I'm sure there are, based on the fact that I think it was last year, there were a couple cosmetic beverages launched, and a a cosmetic yogurt, I believe.
Yeah, that was that product, that Borba product, right?
Yeah, Borba's been around for a while.
And that's a beauty supplement.
Right. They have, I think they had gummy bear vitamins when they first started out.
Ooh, I like gummy bears.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to kind of also, as far as supplements, it probably, I wonder about the bioavailability. So I know that's why I always take vitamins with food because, you know, the combination of things that you're ingesting is also important, not just the individual components.
They suggest at the end of it that coffee might not be good for your skin.
Yeah, coffee and alcohol, diuretics. I don't know if they actually do dehydrate the skin. I don't know if that's ever been studied, but.
Well, we did find, remember last time we learned that people that drink alcohol actually have better skin.
Well, younger skin, not necessarily more hydrated. Younger looking, I believe, right?
Yes, you are correct. Younger looking. But really, that's what we're going for, right?
Right. I really like this article because it kind of reinforces my daily breakfast.
And what is that?
I make a smoothie every morning that has flaxseed oil and fresh, well, frozen fruit or fresh when it's available. So my antioxidants, I go for blueberries, and I also put in some vitamin and protein powder.
Sounds yummy.
It is delicious. And you know what? I get a lot of compliments on my skin, so, you know, maybe it is worth
Well, you do have good skin and probably good genetics. All right, let's go on to our next topic. You know, I was shopping yesterday. Are you familiar with that store, Sephora?
Are you kidding? I love Sephora.
Yes, many women do apparently. And actually, I like the store because of the wide range of different cosmetic products you can see. There's a lot of innovation that goes on, and the products somehow end up in Sephora. I think smaller companies can, you know, test stuff out in Sephora, and if it doesn't sell that well, then they don't have to worry about being kicked out of Walmart like big companies have to worry. But anyway, in Sephora, actually for our international listeners, Sephora is this store that is found in a lot of malls, which contains a lot of high-end beauty products, anywhere from makeup to perfume to skincare and haircare lines. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, you had written an article some time ago about a time that you went shopping and what cosmetic chemists can learn on their shopping trips. So I thought maybe we'd just go over that topic.
Sounds like a good idea.
So first of all, when we talk about going shopping, what are some of the things that you do on a shopping trip if you're going as a cosmetic scientist?
You know what? When I grocery shop, as a matter of fact, so not just necessarily when I make special shopping trips, but just anytime I'm shopping, I always look for the words new on a product because companies usually have a limited amount of time they can use that word on the label of a product. So it helps you quickly find the latest formulas and claims and so forth that you can investigate. You also want to visit a variety of stores. Like Perry mentioned, Sephora carries some higher end products, a little bit more expensive. But you can also find interesting cosmetic products at drugstores or specific beauty supply stores, because more often than not, stores have exclusivity to certain products. And there are ingredients that you might see in specialty shops that you might not see anywhere else.
I always like to, when I'm antiquing, I always like to go to these specialty shops and look at the cosmetic lines they have. I'm kidding.
Oh.
I don't really go antiquing, but I do go to specialty shops.
What's wrong with antiquing?
No, there's nothing wrong with antiquing, except it bores me to death. But maybe I just haven't gone to the right antique shops.
Yeah, antiquing is fun. And you can also get ideas there as well, your inspiration.
It is very true. And speaking of where you can find inspiration,
You definitely want to shop in different neighborhoods as well. And if you can, shop when you travel. Consumer preferences and habits vary by demographics and psychographics. This can give you more insight into what consumers want in different locations. For instance, aesthetic preference for lotion products varies greatly between the United States and Europe.
you know, I always like to just read what people have written on their bottles. It sometimes it seems that they write stuff a little bit more wild claims on their bottles than you'll see on, say, the TV commercial. And certainly small companies that don't advertise on TV, they put a lot more risque claims on their bottles.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I think, too, also, if you look at claims on products sold exclusively in salons can have different labeling as well, since they're not, you know, mass marketed. So it's also interesting to take a look at those.
Yeah, and you know what happens? Your marketing department will look at those and they'll say, why can't we make these claims?
Yeah. You also should, when looking, investigating claims, take a look at the back label of the product and try to make a connection between the claim and the ingredient list. And you can generally get a good idea of whether or not it's puffery or if it's a true claim about the efficacy of the product.
Yeah. And the other thing I like on the back is you can find patent numbers. So sometimes you'll be able to find somebody's formula just through the patent.
Mm-hmm. But you definitely want to be careful when looking at other patents to not duplicate their formulas.
Oh, of course. You would use that only as inspiration. You wouldn't actually formulate their formula.
Some stores actually break down the cost of products on the shelf label, and it'll tell you the cost per ounce. And as you get an idea of what raw materials cost and ingredient levels, you can pricing strategy of the product. You can also tell if a product is on sale or discounted, that it may be a discontinued product, so maybe that product concept isn't doing well. And it could also be that they're just trying to generate interest in a new product.
Oh, yeah, it could be like just test marketing, really, right?
Test marketing, or it's a new launch, so in order to get consumers to try it, they're going to drop the price.
You know what I always like to do when I'm shopping?
Yes.
I like to just watch people. Does that make me creepy?
It sounds a little creepy, but it's actually probably something a lot of us do. We want to see how consumers are shopping for the product. I believe the data out there says that consumers make their decision within seconds at the product shelf. So how are they making their decision? Are they looking, you know, directly at eye level, or do they search up and down the shelves?
Yeah, or are they reading the labels, or are they just picking the color?
Right. I'm a sucker for good packaging.
Ah, yes. Will it look pretty in your bathroom, you mean?
Yep, very important.
Of course. You know, I like to do a lot of shopping online. For beauty products, drugstore.com or even amazon.com, you can find lots of varieties there.
Right. I think you can find a lot of unique products, but then you can also get more information about the ingredients. And especially nice are the consumer reviews of products. So you can, I think drugstore.com and Sephora both have great user reviews of products.
Yeah, and there are some forums, too. MakeupAlley.com is pretty good, and as are many beauty blogs. All right, let's move on to our next segment. You ready for this?
Yes.
So you're a skincare formulator, right?
Correct.
So I thought I'd make a challenge of stuff related to hair care.
They should be interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, you took hair care class. Okay, so in this challenge today, and listeners at home can play along, what I've done is I've looked through and found three science stories about hair that are real, and then I made one up. So you just got to figure out which one is the fake one.
Okay.
Okay, so number one is hair makes a good plant fertilizer. Story number two, Asian hair is the easiest type to simulate on computers. Number three, all natural hair colors come from two pigments. Number four, some 80-year-olds have no gray hair. So which of those do you think are fake?
Interesting. Well, I'm positive that hair colors come from two pigments.
That's right. I'm sorry. I should not butt in. Go ahead.
Pheomelanin and eumelanin, you were going to say?
I was.
Hair makes good plant fertilizer. That sounds like that could be true. I don't know. I think 80-year-olds having no gray hair might be the fake one.
All right. That's what you're going with?
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's get the explanations. So you thought that hair making good fertilizer was true. And in fact, that is true. There was a report on Wired Science that said human hair can be made into a fertilizer, which helps furnish plants with needed nutrients.
Interesting.
you thought hair colors all come from two pigments. And, you know, any cosmetic chemist worth their salt would know that this one, of course, was true. And what are the two pigments, Kelly?
Theomelanin and eumelanin.
Nice. You pronounce that stuff better than me. So. All right. And then you thought the 80-year-olds have no gray hair is the fake one. And unfortunately, this one is true.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. According to the Daily Mail, which is a UK newspaper, there's this guy, Ron Williamson, who is 80 years old, and he doesn't have any gray hair on his head. And he reportedly doesn't color. Of course, this is just anecdotal evidence. I'm a little skeptical. But for this quiz, I think that works all right. Which all means that Asian hair being the easiest to simulate on computers is false.
Oh.
It's actually very difficult to simulate Asian hair on computers. And it's specifically because it's the dark color and it's a single color mostly. And so it doesn't look as realistic as you can with a hair color that's blonde or brown and has different shades throughout the hair. So it's that singularity of color that makes it difficult for a computer program.
Very interesting.
Okay, nicely done. That brings your total down to 50% for the season.
Oh, no.
No, still not bad. And speaking of not bad, that brings us to the end of the show. Just a few quick announcements. Of course, as always, please visit chemistscorner.com and leave questions and comments about cosmetic science, the blog, and the show, which has now been downloaded over 200 times. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and you can connect with both of us on LinkedIn. And just go to the About page on Chemist Corner for more details. Also, I'll be teaching a class, a continuing education class, about how cosmetic chemists can more productively use the Internet. And this will be in New Jersey on April 27, 2010. You can sign up through the Society of Cosmetic Chemists at scconline.org. And that'll be lots of fun. It should be a fun class. Do you have anything coming up, Kelly?
The Teamworks Trade Show with the Midwest SCC is coming up on March 31st. That's always a good program to attend if you can.
Oh, yeah, it's excellent. And you can get lots of things like free pens and bumper stickers. And, of course, find out about all the latest and new great chemicals coming out for the cosmetic industry.
Right.
And someday I think, Chemist Corner will have a booth there. We'll broadcast live.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, it sounds like the exit music is playing now. So is it still snowing out there?
Yep, it's still snowing. We had the day off work today because of it, so maybe we'll have another one tomorrow.
Wow, that'd be fun. Well, at least you didn't take the day off from the show.
Of course, I'm dedicated.
All right, do you want to say your outline?
And thanks for helping us make the world a more beautiful place through cosmetic chemistry.
All right, thanks, Kelly, and thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. Now, go make a difference.